Dr. McCabe Morin. I can't believe we're already in the middle of August. We only have a few more months to go, and we will have wrapped up this 2023. We have a wonderful way to wrap up this 2023. We must not forget where we come from. As we have entered into this wonderful, marvelous age of the Aquarius, time is really speeding by. You know, time is really, really speeding by. And there's been so many heroes and sheroes that have paved the way for us to be able to see this day. So we thought it very befitting that we give honor to those great heroes and sheroes out there who have paved the way for us to have substantial conversations about where humanity is going from here. Much of our reality has been shaped by media and music, mostly being music. If you take mid-century, particularly the 1900s, and really it started at early century with the blues and stuff, but we're just going to go from mid-century on. We had some of the most profound entertainers to have ever graced the earth that I would say was the number one influence of music definitely today. And although their inspiration came from the beginning of the last century, really the foundation that we're standing on right now is from mid-century 1900s. So I really want to highlight the heroes of the heroes. Today we have a phenomenal guest on. We were really, really blessed to get this phenomenal guest with all of her grace and beauty and stardom in itself in being one of the great ones to have paved that way. Guess from where? From Motown. Yes, we have a Motown original with us. We have the fabulous, the great, the gorgeous Miss Kim Weston. And I am so honored to be able to have her on the Dr. McCabe Show today. I want to set a little foundation because it's hard to believe that anyone out there has not heard of the great and fabulous Kim Weston. Or if you have, you may not be aware that her start was in Michigan, in Motown. And we all know what Motown was and who Motown was and the foundation that they laid for not only the music industry, but all from hip-hop to pop to modern culture today, and definitely most things that we see in media. Everything has to come from a strong foundation. And Motown laid such a strong foundation, and this was one of the ones that helped to lay it in the most positive way. You know, I remember hearing Kim Weston songs in my youth because my father would play them over and over, and I was trying to remember that one song that I heard so much, so I had to go back, and it was I believe it was the one that's talking about "Take Me in Your Arms." That was a one that I heard over and over and over and over, and it's such a profound honor to have her on the show today. Kim Weston is not only going to enlighten us, but we're going to go through the annals of time with her. She's seen so much, and we're not just shouting out music heroes who laid the foundation for the positivity in our culture today, but we're also going to branch out into some other heroes that we've heard quite a lot about, that when you get a celebrity of this caliber, who has seen ages of time pass by and been actively in it, we think it's so important here on the Dr. McCabe Show that we remind everybody of where we come from and where the beginnings were from. So I don't want to keep Ms. Weston waiting much longer, but before we go on, we just want to give you a quick little tidbit of her music. Ms. Kim Weston, let's get a playback for her, please.
Sister Kim Weston, the Black National Anthem.
Let's days that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of new safety God, let us march on till victory is won. Stony the road
difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Introducing the incomparable. Now that was singing. That was singing. I think a lot of us have forgotten what voices sound like. That was singing. The incomparable, the wonderful, the fabulous, the queen herself, Miss Kim Weston. Everyone, let's give her a big round of applause.
Yeah.
Miss Kim Weston, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. To God be the glory. Bless you.
To God be the glory. Thank you for blessing us with your appearance. Wow. Your voice is just gorgeous. The quality of it and the notes. Can I ask you what year that was that you, the one we just played was Lift Every Voice and Sing?
That was at Watch Stacks Records and Reverend Jackson. And I think that was the in the early 70s, around 72, I believe.
Yes. Wow, 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 wow. You know, I have to just say it. Your voice can bring anyone to tears, and it's rare in the industry, at least since it's been in my lifetime, that we actually get the quality of that type of voice. And this is, of course, not to put any shade on any other artist, but I know a voice and real music when I hear it and when I don't. So I want to thank you so much. You really have paid your dues, and you're still doing even more to enlighten us on the Dr. McCabe Show. So thank you so much for coming on. You know, I don't even know where. No, go ahead. I apologize. Mm-hmm.
I just want to thank you and for the work that I hear that.
Well, we certainly are attempting to do so. We certainly are attempting to do so. You know, I pulled you up on Wikipedia, I pulled you up on Wikipedia, and I knew it. I said I thought the name of that show was Take Me in Your Arms because that's the one I heard over and over and over again quite a bit. And your Lift Every Voice and Sing re-edition. Oh, Valerie just texted me that that was a 1972 Watts. You know, it's just amazing. Yet I also know that you've done a lot of other things, and you support a lot of nationalistic movements. What would you like to share with us today? I want to start there. I don't usually start there, but someone of your caliber, you've done so much in your life. You've had such a influence on the modern day culture. I know that we were speaking of the Tuskegee Airmen and other things, but I would like you to begin where you want to begin.
Well, as I say, to God be the glory. I started out in church, the 808 Church of God. And the music, I feel a lot of it comes from the public school system. They've taken the music out of the school, which is stupid, you know. The people that were at Motown, they were people that learned in school, you know. From the Temptations and everybody else, Martha Reeves and I were at Miller High School together. And we had Mr. George Shirley, now still a professor at Michigan State, and he was our music teacher, and he went on to be the first black tenor for the Metropolitan Opera. So I know that had a great influence on me.
Wow. Absolutely. They've taken so much out of schools just since I've been alive. When I was going to school in the Well, it started in the 70s and the 80s. I mean, you know, they don't even have gym classes anymore. And it's very sad to hear. I'm not surprised that a lot of those special education programs were also taken out of the school. So it's like, what will these children have to fall back on? And it's one thing to have IT skills, but in the current age that we're in where a computer can do it all, it's really unfortunate because I find that those things are what really enrich us. We're God's people. So it's our expression of God here on earth and our talents that I really feel do the most to develop us. You know, I know that everyone's asking. So I know we're going to speak of some other things, and particularly when it comes to your experience and knowing of some other political things. Yet I want to begin because I know everyone out there is curious how you got your start in Motown. We want to be able to hear it from you. So I want to ask the most common question that's out there and then have a more directed conversation, if that's okay with you.
Well, you know what? Believe it or not, it came from I did a concert at my church, and there was a young man that was there. And when I finished, he said, "You're like a female James Cleveland," which is definitely a compliment. And he asked me if I would do a demo session. And I'd like to talk about that a little more when we get together, you know. But he had me to do a demo, and the demo was for a cousin of the Holland brothers, Eddie and Brian Holland. They didn't like the song, but they liked my voice and that song. But it came from the church. Yeah.
Wow. So, and you know, that's something because you hear these testimonies over and over, particularly those who were really blew up mid-century, that if the roots was in the church, and that makes sense because the black family was always in the church. Unlike today,
that's
it's not as.
That's a part of the problem, too, because young people aren't being taught about God. And if you don't believe in God, you ain't got nothing really to hold on to.
Exactly. How did you get signed to Motown? So was it pretty much of an easy process? Because I know back then, I don't know if people had talent managers and all that, and you seem to have fared pretty well in your career as opposed to others who didn't, as well as the fact you have reached a ripe age, comparatively speaking. You know, I believe that we can all live to 120, but so many of your colleagues are not here because they got wrapped up in the industry Yeah. So it's evident to me that not only were you one of the strongest incomparable voices, because I'm like, wow, this is really, but you also have lived a pretty wholesome lifestyle. So tell us about that. How are we able to speak to the great Kim Weston? And many of them we can't because they passed so early.
I have to say to God be the glory, because I was covered by his power. You know, there are so many things that other people went through that God protected me from. So, that's where I have to give my credit to. Because my belief in God, I believe, is what has kept me.
Yes. And did you come from a strong two-family household?
No, it's just my mother and me.
Isn't that
nice? But she kept me afloat.
She kept you afloat. You know, it's necessary. It's really, I didn't even know that. And it's really necessary to hear that, because they have this erroneous ideology out there that you're going to be ruined, you're not going to have a long life if you come from a single-parent household. And you're saying that you did. And yet you still were so successful and grounded and still here today with still a powerful voice. That in itself is an anomaly.
She gave me the foundation of the Word of God. And whatever happens, and I haven't been perfect, you know, I don't know anybody other than Jesus yet that can even speak of being perfect. But the Word, regardless of what happens, if you go back to the Word, you get the proof. And he says, the truth will make you speak. Speak the truth and the truth will make you speak.
Wow. Wow. You know, it's so much that could be said about that. Okay, she gave you the Word of God, and that's carried you your whole life. I want to just briefly tap on these, because we do have you on for a special show next Sunday. So I'm just giving the audience a tidbit of the power of this living legend, was still one of the most powerful voices today. With that being said, you know, just kind of tidbitting on it, you were around with the Marvin Gayes and the Tammy Terrells and probably the Aretha Franklins, and you've done so much. It says on here that you did a duet with even Johnny Nash. So you've seen so much. I'm looking here from Wikipedia saying you did an appearance on the Bill Cosby Show. I don't know if you did any other TV, yet you stayed very, very grounded. Would you like to tell us of any of the things that you do now that you're very passionate about continuing with your strong background and you're so successful?
You know, Doctor, I was born in 1939. I'm sure young people can't even put their mind around something like that. But, that was just before the war started, Pearl Harbor, when Japan bombed the ship there. And so when that happened, I was too young to really realize, but I knew I had to feel the pressure of what the people, the adults around were feeling. And we had an air raid drill every Saturday at 1 o'clock. And I think that had something to do with me having nightmares. I had nightmares. At 4 years old, my aunt brought me a wooden airplane with a red tail without me understanding any of that. When the Tuskegee Airmen, who were the Red Tail Angels, they had one of their most successful days in their journey. I would like for your audience to pull up Double Victory, a documentary by George Lucas on the Red Tail Angels, the Tuskegee Airmen. When they had that special day, July 18th is what I'm thinking it is, something happened to me. That's when I learned that every boy can sing. I believe I learned it in church, and then I went to school at 5 years old, and they were teaching it in school, having the nightmare. I don't even remember exactly when it stopped, but it was during that time, you know? So the Tuskegee Airmen have been in my life since I was 4 years old. And I'm, thank God I'm 83 now, you know. And that I can still do a full split.
What? Oh, okay. Yeah. This is so profound, what you just said. I want to update people because everyone needs to do this like right now. Double victory, the Tuskegee Airmen War. So Ms. Weston is speaking of World, I don't want to be ignorant, World War II, correct?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And, wow, this is crazy. And were you talking to, in World War II, okay, and this film was done by George Lucas. So you're saying you were having these nightmares, and because I want you to give all the history you know of the Tuskegee Airmen. And how do I say this kindly? Yes. Mm-hmm.
They were saying that black men weren't capable of flying planes. See, that they were ignorant. They couldn't deal with the technology of flying an airplane. So the Tuskegee Airmen had to go through all of the things that the young people don't want to hear about. But they need to know this. They need to know how they got to where they are now. Because black people, you know, we were slaves. And they don't want to hear about being a slave. But if you don't know your past, then the future is not right. The future is not going to be right if you don't know the past. And we need to give honor where honor is due. And the Tuskegee Airmen broke through that barrier. And it's my understanding that when they would come back after flying a plane, the white men would throw white paint on them. And there were
wow.
so many other things. They lied on them. That's one thing I wish that they would check it out. Maybe if we tell them that George Lucas is the one that did Star Wars, so they can relate to Star Wars. So they need to see what he did. But what he did was not satisfactory to the Tuskegee Airmen. He left out all the things that they wanted him to do. He said that America
okay.
wasn't ready. Well, America still isn't ready.
America will never be ready, but you have to... Okay, Ms. Weston, if you don't mind, I want to play a clip because this is so profound. I don't even want to tell you what's going on with them boldly saying they're not going to teach African American history. And we already know because they don't want to highlight the truth of very, very recent history and how extremely powerful African Americans are under more adversity than ever put in any other race 100 times over. So now the whitewashing has become even worse. So since you mentioned Tuskegee Airmen and your nightmares that you had went away, if you don't mind, I want to play this clip to give our listening audience a point of reference. And I'm going to give everyone homework because we're going to come back with this on Sunday. So if we could play the clip, please, from the Tuskegee Airmen, and then we're going to go right back to the fabulous Ms. Kim West in the comments. Can we get that audio, please?
In 1941, some of the finest American fighter pilots took on the fight for a double victory against oppression abroad and racism at home. They call themselves Red Tails.
It was my duty and responsibility, as my father did and my grandfather did, that the country's in trouble. You do what you have to do.
We're as patriotic as anybody else. We wanted our chance to prove that we could do something.
Your nation calls on you to die for your country, and you can't even sit down in a restaurant. It's not a pleasant feeling when you look and think, what am I volunteering to die for?
I really didn't care whether it was segregated or not. I wanted to fly.
Admission into the cadet training program required at least 2 years of college, at a time when fewer than 1% of African Americans had a college degree. Academically, they truly were the best of the best. By the end of World War II, the Red Tails had flown more than 1,500 missions, shooting down a total of 112 enemy aircraft, including Nazi Germany's first jet fighters.
I saw these streaks coming. Instead of going this way, I went down, turned the plane upside down, went down under the bombers, and I caught one of the jets just as he was coming in to shoot down the B-17.
Back home in America, top brass personally decorated the group's pilots.
It was a time in history we should be very proud of. We set the star very, very high for anybody who's following us. We changed the world.
The double victory had yet to be won. But those in the group who served and sacrificed paved the way to a brave new future for African Americans to serve their country at the highest levels.
We helped black people raise their heads. America's not perfect, but I'll hold her hand until she gets well.
Okay, we're going to go back to Ms. Kim Weston. Now, when you guys hear that, this was during a time of which we still battle with today of extreme racism on every single front. And these were the most successful airmen. They did not lose not one person, not one person, and still this extreme disrespect that they received from the fellow airmen and the country was even much more so than what George Lucas put in his film. And then we're going to let Ms. Kim Weston give us her full account and knowledge of this, because we're dealing with these same topics today of the attempt to whitewash the history of us as a great people. So, Ms. Weston, we're just going to let you take it from here. You were telling us that when George Lucas did this film, that it, as heroic as it seemed, it would have been probably 100 times more heroic had all the truths been told. So can you tell us of your knowledge of that?
Hello?
Ms. Weston?
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you, sir. Just we're trying to get Ms. Weston back on. Ms. Weston, are you there?
I'm here, but I don't think I'm plugged in.
Oh, okay, we got you. I
can
hear you
me?
Now. I couldn't hear you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We got you back. We're going to take questions, guys. You could press one, but not yet. Ms. Weston, please let us know, because you were mentioning that a lot of the story wasn't told of the Tuskegee Airmen. What do you have to share with us on that?
Well, you know what, I was telling you that a part of what I'm doing now is working with Brother Fauntleroy, Billy Fauntleroy, who is a Tuskegee Airman, and he's 97 years old. And I wish we could have him on Sunday for a national holiday. They have it in about 6 states now. But if we don't step up and say that we should be demanding that these people are recognized, you know? And that's how I got involved in what I'm doing now. But I've been involved with the Tuskegee Airmen since I was 4, you know? So I didn't hear what you all were saying. I didn't even hear the end of the thing, because I accidentally cut off my phone. It's crazy, you know? But there's so much that happened. That's why I'm hoping that they will look at the double victory, because there's no way for me to explain it. And they were most of the men never talked about it after they got out the service. And one of the reasons that I'm so passionate about it is that when they came home after all that they went through, there was nobody there. The white soldiers had parade and confetti and all of that, but there was nobody to say thank you for what you went through. Because of them, President Truman integrated the F word. Because of them, he integrated all of the units in the F word, you know. And I'm just saying, we as a people don't give recognition like we should. And I got upset because I cut off. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine. I don't want to interrupt you. Just, you know, I know you were also mentioning that one of the Tuskegee Airmen actually pulled out when we were offline because George Lucas was not filming it according to the story that they gave them, or it was some alteration and watering down of it.
That they gave him, that they thought he was going to put in the film. He didn't, and that's what I was saying when I said, he said that America wasn't ready. You know.
Who said that? George Lucas said that America wasn't ready?
Yes, because he did the film.
Right.
He did the documentary, and I think it was Colonel Brown. He's one of the Tuskegee Airmen that walked out. But several of them walked out because they were disappointed. You know, and I'm saying it's good. Can you imagine what it would be like if we had the whole thing? If we had what really happened? And then when they
exactly.
came back, their family didn't even know that they were in the children didn't know that they were a part of that. So they haven't had the recognition that they should have. They now are getting recognition. I mean, we're giving it to them, and that's what I'm saying. You know?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, ma'am. Not only did they have to receive the shame and embarrassment of not being welcome. See, this is what people don't know. They would have assumed all the airmen came home and not welcome. No, guys, this is America. Not only after protecting the lives of airmen, of hundreds of others, and helping to save the country, did they not get the recognition, but the film itself was deliberately whitewashed and watered down. And I say this all the time on my show. You know, I saw something online and they said, well, why are more black people arrested? And the white guy responded with they commit more crimes and statistics. What statistics? The people trolling the statistics are lying. And it's just what it is. So to have the extreme humiliation, and this is just one that we still have a Tuskegee Airman living, the least that we could do is make it a national holiday. And like you said, Ms. Weston, that we have had a history as a people with a slave mentality of not sticking together and allowing our history, 95% of it, to be whitewashed in the present. And to say that America's not ready, America's not ready for what? Because if your father and your grandmother was ready to enslave someone and ready to treat them and ready, and your country was ready to use the Tuskegee Airmen and then help win the World War II, but be so disrespectful and disgraceful as not to honor them when they came home, and this has happened millions and millions of times over, how dare you say America's not ready? America's been ready, and we can't get ready to excel until we give honor to this. And that's exactly if we don't get the truth and how we supposed to, and it affects everyone. So this is really, really something, and we're going to have a special show Sunday, guys, on giving honor where it's due and having Ms. Weston back, and we're going to go more into detail on this because we're going to have two really significant guests, and Ms. Weston being the main one. Ms. Weston, do you mind if I open up the lines and take a couple of comments or questions to you?
Okay. No, I don't. I don't mind.
Okay, I need the questions before you press 1. Please press 1. If you press 1, I need them to be very directed to the conversation that we're speaking of. And, of course, you could speak on Ms. Reston's career as well. I know it says the forgotten story of the black soldiers, Red Ball. So no one has pressed 1 as yet. Remember to press 1. Wow. So while we're waiting for someone to press 1, because this is a pre-show highlighting our next show that's going to be coming on, and we're going to have a lot of people on the line at that time, okay, we just got somebody. I was going to go into that split that you're doing at 85. I don't want you to think that we didn't hear that. We heard that. Like, what? I don't want you to think that we didn't hear that. I'm going to address you one second. We heard that split that Ms. Weston still doing it at 83 years old. You are profound. So I do think we have a first person, 404-453. Is that you, Shaq?
Or is this Weston? How y'all
doing? Hey. Welcome to the Dr. Table Show. Yes. Wes, please, I'll let you address Ms. Weston.
How you doing, darling?
Yes, ma'am. I'm doing good. Ms. Kim knows me, man. You know, Ms. Kim, how you doing? They're going to add it to your song. You know, they add it to your song. You say lift every voice and sing. Guess what they say or not? Lift every chair and swing, man. They done add it to your song, man. They had that first.
I never heard that before, even for you to bring it on up.
Yes, ma'am. You know it. I bring new stuff to you, Ms. Kim. I love you. Keep me young, man. You doing splits because you know why, Ms. Kim? Because she had her hair natural back in the day. She put all the chemicals in her hair, man. She got the word of God come busting her head, man.
Wait, who is this? Is this Shaq or Wes?
That's Wes. Ms. Kim know
okay,
me.
Okay, yeah.
That's right, Ms. Kim. And I sent you information about two more groups, the Red Ball Express. They were the truckers. That was the song that Eddie Kendricks made, Keep On Trucking, for the Red Ball Express.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, Red Ball Express. There were some bad brothers, too, and the 761 Tank Battalion, the Black Panthers.
Ooh.
All right. So anyway, Ms. Kim, I'll let y'all talk. I'd like to hear y'all. Yes, ma'am.
Are you familiar with the... the Munford Point Marines?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I heard of them before, too. I think they're in California somewhere. Yes, ma'am. I heard of them.
And I'm working with a young man that's doing the Buffalo Soldiers.
Yes, ma'am. I love
He's
Buffalo Soldiers.
They all deserve a day.
Judge Joe Brown was in the Buffalo Soldiers movie directed by Isaiah Washington.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. And the other movie about the Red Tails, Terrence Howell was in that movie, too.
Well, there are several movies.
Yes, ma'am.
There are several movies on them. I haven't been able to see the one documentary, but I've seen some other trailers and things. But what people don't realize is that the Red Tail Angels, the airmen, the reason I say that they're responsible and that they deserve something special is because they were losing thousands of men every day that were supposed to be escorting the bombers. And General Davis, he was responsible for Tuskegee Airmen getting what they got, what they did get. They lied on them. You got to see it. And this kind of thing is still going on. And the young people that think everything is straight, but everything is not straight. They're doing some of the same things that they were doing back there. It's just being done another way. So as long as we don't come together, it's going to keep on. And that's one reason they were successful, because they stuck together. They stuck together and they followed directions. People don't follow directions now. Everybody wants to do their own thing. But everybody can be in charge. The person that's in charge is supposed to have studied to know what the best thing is. You know? And General Davis told them, if they left the bombers, they'll come back to the base. So they followed direction. They followed what he said. And because they did that, the bombers were able to hit their target. They were losing. Each bomber has, I think, 12 to 15 men. And if they're not, they were losing 900 bombers a day.
Wow.
A day. You know? Until we touched the airmen, ordnance. And they, the bombers themselves, didn't even know they were black. They didn't know they were black, but they are the ones that gave them the name of angels, the red tail angels. So that's the kind of stuff that we don't know anything about.
Yeah, I had to say, okay, wait. So what, you know, trying to put this in perspective, because so what the airmen do is they protected the bombers so they could go out there and lay the bombs.
They had other assignments, but this particular group, I don't know the technical name, I can't think of it right now, but that was their job to escort the bombers. And before the Red Tail Angels did it, the bombers would go after, when they see the enemy, they go try and shoot the enemy instead of escorting the bombers. So that's why they were losing so many of them. The Tuskegee Airmen follow directions. And they not only did they get them there, they extorted them back. And the other people didn't do that. So I'm saying that's something special. And for them to come home and nobody was there to greet them, that hurt my heart.
And so, you know what, before we come do the Sunday show, I'm going to do the math. Because if they were losing 900 a day, and you multiply however many days that was, they say thousands and thousands, tens of thousands lives, which represents hundreds of thousands and a few million Americans who directly are living because of the Tuskegee Airmen. Oh, we're gonna blow this up. I'm gonna do the numbers on that. We have 83 and someone 972388. So if your digits in an 83, what caller's on? Okay, just say
PC.
Something. Hey, Shaq.
Hey, what's going on? I heard you summoned me. How you doing this afternoon?
We doing great. Give me one more second because I got somebody else who's been waiting. I'm going to put both of you guys on. Who's 972388? Please say your name.
No, that's my number, the 972 number.
Oh, that's you again? Okay, yeah. Wow. So did you hear did you have anything to ask Miss Weston, and did you know those type of numbers? I mean, we knew they were heroes, but I didn't really realize that before they came on the scene, they were losing 1,000 people a day. And when the Tuskegee Airmen came on the scene, they weren't losing not one person. We got millions of white Americans out there who are living because of the Tuskegee Airmen. So we definitely need to be doing a GoFundMe, the campaigns and marketing this so this could be a national holiday. This is amazing. Chat, go ahead on. I'm sorry. I'm just so amazed by that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's definitely amazing. It definitely needs to be talked about. I definitely think we need to get some writers together, some actors together, Aboriginal, American Indian actors together, and I need to do our own movie reenacting of the Tuskegee Airmen and show homage to them. You know what I mean? Plus, to give some of the young actors and writers and visionaries a chance to get some stardom, you know, and history, real American history too. That's just my opinion.
And you know what? Excuse me, darling. The young people that I talk to, they think it's the Tuskegee Airmen are from the Tuskegee Experiment, where they injected syphilis to the men and wouldn't let them go to the hospital. Mm-hmm.
Two different things.
Yeah.
Also, the PBS got a special. I saw it like last month with the Real Brothers over on location over in Italy. Just go to PBS.com and pull up Tuskegee Airmen special, man. They tell the real truth.
Can you send that to me? You said, can you text that to me?
PBS. Well, I saw it on television, but go to PBS.org and you can pull it up. PBS, Public Broadcasting System. But I try to find the senator, you know what I mean? Valerie faster than me on the internet, so it's Jack.
Hey, I did want to say salute to Ms. Weston, man. It's definitely an honor to hear one of our greats, you know what I'm saying, and one of our legends, you know, American heroes, American hero legends, you know, to be still here with us and be still cognizant enough to give us some information that's not necessarily in a book that wasn't, you know, authored by somebody that looks like us, you know. I did want to ask you again, too, Ms. Weston, about your singing career. As like preparing your voice, warming up for like any one of your songs, and did you guys do the? I took choir in high school, so did you guys do like the warming voice up, like the me 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 money money mo money money me me money mo? Did you do that?
Vocalizing,
huh?
Check. Like I said, one of my highlights in school was Mr. George Shirley was the first black tenor for the Metropolitan Opera.
Hmm.
That was a plus for me that he was my high school teacher. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm. Wow. But it's Shaq, anything else? It's just so much history. So the answer is yes. So she was the first black opera singer. Where did you say, Miss Weston?
Well, the New York Metropolitan Opera.
I mean, that in itself is another whole history. We could do something on her. You know what we have so many heroes and heroines that literally are the strong foundation here in America. And I'm really leaning towards you. It's just what you said. We have to stick together. And you know what is making me think of Miss Weston? When Spike Lee was first doing his films, we didn't support it. So if we want the story told to actually the truth of it be told, because George Lucas is a huge billionaire, I mean, I'm familiar with him because of Star Wars like everybody else. And to say America's not ready, America been ready. America's ready to commit the atrocity. America's ready to take the history out of school because it's so embarrassed it wants to have its not show the world this history. The problem of that is we are America. You know, we are America. So my thing is we have to support more black filmmakers. And when I say black, some of them may have white skin, but those who are willing to tell the truth. Because when you said to me that a lot of them walked off, you know, how many slaps do you get in your face, not just to save your country, but to save thousands and thousands and thousands of people's family, only to come home, you don't even get recognized in a parade. Then many years later, when it's known, you're told, oh, that's too much for America to handle. To handle it people who don't know their history perish. And I say this because people think it's just a black American thing. But the number one, and I will say this, the number one terrorist in the world today is white American males. And it's things like this that they're not aware of and erroneous lies they've been told in their DNA that really as a group, while we continue to not work together, because they literally may be directly a descendant of the Tuskegee Airmen sticking together. So I try to pull on all groups of understanding this relationship that this truth has to be told. It has to be told. What can we do? Because I know I really am, my mind is going back and forth because I'm like, how do we get the Tuskegee Airman that you know on the show? I know that you say he's pretty aged. He's at 90 years old. Yet even if we got a pre-recorded clip, you say he's 97? Oh, boy.
And we just lost three that were 100 years old. They had a ceremony, and about 10 of them went, and now they all are sick with COVID. And they're all 90 and 97.
Yeah. That's amazing how God blessed most of them with a long life. I don't find that a coincidence. Wow. We got to do everything we could do to get this. I'm saying a national holiday. What steps do you suggest, Ms. Weston, that we participate in from here on? And we're going to highlight this a lot more on Sunday because I'm about all action steps.
As a matter of fact, they're having a Tuskegee Airmen convention that starts Monday, I think it is. And Arizona, and I don't have that information. I'll have it Sunday, though.
Okay.
One of the things I've been talking about, and I don't know how to start it, but the Lord's going to make a way. I want to form a veteran and community coalition. And that'll include everybody.
Mm.
One thing that we can do is I didn't want to go with the paper that you signed to register. What do you call that? Wes, where are you at?
Wes, you on the line?
They have too many signatures.
Oh yeah.
You mean a petition? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what I was thinking about is that we could get some e-signatures and people that participate on yourself.
You know, absolutely.
You go to, what's that?
And everybody, everybody come, if we come together last
time. Oh, I know what she's talking about. She's talking about change.org.
Yeah, change.org.
Oh, okay.
Change.org.
Okay.
That's where they get all
the
signatures.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that.
Change.org, yes.
Yeah, one of
them. Change.org usually does. Yeah.
We're going to hook you up. We got you.
Well, I need some, if somebody help me to get it started, I'll run with it and do what I can. I get as much help as it. And Mr. Fontboy is the one that asked me if I would help him. That's how I got involved. I'm hoping
you
I can get him to come.
Well, we would. Yes, and that's the Tuskegee Airmen. Wow. Yes.
One of the things that's bothering me is that they don't want to talk about it.
But
we need to let them know that we need to hear them. Mr. Curry, I haven't met him yet. He just turned 100 last month. And he didn't talk about it, and he don't want to talk about it. But some of the experiences that we went through, it's embarrassing. And then, you know, many of them feel like they, you know, they didn't stand up for the manhood, but they couldn't stand up for the manhood. But they stuck together. They stuck together because of that. We need to give them credit. And that's an example that we need to follow.
Mm. So, Wes and Shaq, you all hear that?
Yes, ma'am.
You guys there?
Yes, ma'am, I heard it. Somebody to hook up, man. You know, y'all passing me on the internet, but you get that petition. I change.org, Valerie and all. Somebody, y'all pass, man. Y'all young folks passing. Y'all think it's moving past his mind on the internet.
You said change.org?
Yes, change.org.
Yeah, I think we need to push this on all platforms. I think we try to get some people. I'm going to tell some people about it and try to get them to come and participate on your show, Dr. McCable. But I definitely think we need to get Ms. West and anybody else involved with the Tuskegee, you know, all these platforms, get them acclimated to, you know, introduce them to the people, man, because this is the time. A lot of people is trying to create their own and finding out that they are indigenous to America and create their own stuff, man. You know what I mean? So I definitely would love to get our own platforms. A lot of people that's we can get to the information.
So I tell you what, if we have
and push this all around.
Yes, because I know with those petitions, by it already being a Tuskegee Airman who's still living. It would be great if that was the first signature and then this, and then for us to get a lawyer who's involved. And I'm saying that because we're doing this show again on, we're doing a larger portion of this show on Sunday. So we need you to make this every short, make sure everyone's here on Sunday. I've never started one, but I do know that the influence of them usually starts with a more prominent group. So just Miss Weston alone and the Tuskegee Airmen, and then you just keep advertising it like that. So much was said that I didn't even address. I just want to ask one thing, because we're going to discuss this on Sunday's show. Miss Weston, did we hear correctly when you said that the Tuskegee Airmen, after World War II and them saving tens of thousands of lives and millions of Americans, responsible for millions of Americans to be born. So we're going to have Miss Weston back on for Sunday. And Sunday's show has a special title to it with giving honor where honor is due, featuring Miss Kim Weston. So we need to get back, you know, off the line and find out how to get this change.org petition started. We have these living legends here. And I want everyone to know this is just not a black thing. This is a whole American thing. This was the most successful airman group of World War II, or at least one of the most successful, and still today for the story to be not fully told and heavily whitewashed, saying America's not ready. Well, maybe that's why America's fallen, because we haven't had the courage to tell the story. America's more than ready, and America needs to hear this story, and we as a people need to stick together. So I want to just give all honor and thanks to the fabulous and the great, the mother herself, the I would even say the blessed mother herself. And remember, Miss Weston said, you know, she's 83 years young, and we're speaking of Mr. Airman, who's 97, that if her foundation was in the church. And that's what I heard, because you always hear these Motown stories, and many of them have been gone darn near as long as I've been living. They didn't get past 40. So for all those young artists out there, when you're willing to stick with your God principles, that's what blessed you with a long life. So we want to give a shout out to Sunday show. Make sure you call in. It's going to be a fabulous show of giving honor where honor is due, featuring the fabulous Miss Kim Weston. And I do believe, I don't want to say her name, we'll have another featured guest who was also an elder star in our community. So with that being said, Shaq, West, did you all have any lasting comments? Because we're going to sign off. This was our pre-show for Sunday.
Yeah, no, I just say salute, man. You know, I'm definitely be showing up. I would like for us to, between this that time and now, to get on the three-way call so I can connect out with some other people, man, so we can, you know, start pushing this shit as a team, for real, you know?
Yeah, I sent you all the information about Brother Ray Brother when they met up there in D.C. a couple of weeks ago during Air Force Base. But, yeah, another bad story is about one Tuskegee Airman was in the in Chicago, and the judge, black sister, supposed to be watching his money, and she stole dude money, man. This is Chicago, man. This judge stole that brother money, man. Why it wouldn't pay his medical bills and the old folks home, man. She ain't gonna get no blessing for that, man. That's his all gonna shame, man. But anyway,
well,
I had put some.
You know, I don't know how much longer we got, but this getting ready to drop, guys, because as you're saying that, I really didn't want to say nothing till then, but Miss Weston said herself about the petition. We know that's change.org, but I don't see why we can't have a GoFundMe either. If we could sit up here and GoFundMe brawls, we could definitely GoFundMe the great of the great. So let's have some off-the-air conversations about this. Valerie, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, bring some juice, Valerie. Bring some sweet sugar. Come on.
Thank y'all for coming out. God bless. Good night.
All right. God bless. Good night. And don't forget, give yourself a big hug, because you're the best of the best. Love you much. The Dr. McCabe Show.